Hey guys, welcome to Sunday Nights at Refuge, a community-focused Bible study that gathers weekly in our Common Ground Cafe. So grab a cup of coffee or tea and your Bible. By the way, you can connect with us on Instagram at Refuge Family. Now, our prayer is that Jesus would use this message to draw you closer to Him. So if you're ready, let's join tonight's study.
So tonight, we are going to be, let's back up a little bit. So we have been going through 1 Corinthians. What we normally do is we go a chapter at a time. And so for the past 5 weeks, aside from last Sunday, which was Christmas, or the day after Christmas, I should say, and Bill Welsh, Pastor Bill Welsh and Bill Buffington, they did a really cool, kind of worship set. And it was huge. Like it was a really good time. I mean, it was just cool to see, two creatives just like flow and then also give glory to God. And so it was just a really good time. And so normally we would be going through, 1 Corinthians, but kind of in the spirit of things, and because this is the first Sunday of the new year, I decided, you know what, let's do something just a little bit different. So tonight, we are going to be going through Matthew chapter 11, specifically verses 28 and 29. So if you would, Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. So God, we are excited. We're excited to hear from you. God, this is... it's just a good time to come together and be a family and also study your word together, Father. Like, what an awesome and amazing opportunity just to come together and learn more about you. So, God, I pray, be with us, God. Holy Spirit, come, speak to us individually, Father, and reveal things in our lives. Tell us how to grow deeper and more madly in love with you, Father. And, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be holy and acceptable unto you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. What does it look like when rest is outside of our grasp? What does it look like when no matter how much rest we get, no matter how much sleep we get, there's no rest? What does it look like when no matter how much you do, you're never satisfied? No matter how much you love, there's still emptiness. And what do we do when we are dissatisfied and without peace? Every year, I like to set New Year's resolutions. A few good ones was no sugar, go to the gym every morning, make my bed every day. Has anyone actually made a New Year's resolution this year? Nice, that's a good one. Anyone else? Now, why is that? Why don't we set New Year's resolutions? Because that's what I feel. Like, I haven't set one this year either. And I find that the reason for that is because even though I want to change and I see scrutiny in my life and I want to see things, that often that resolution just kind of falls apart. I said earlier, I said no sugar. Well, that eventually turned into no refined sugar, no soda. No Coke, and that'll do. Like it, I slowly whittled away, and I was trying my best. And we fail at our resolutions, and we don't like that. See, resolutions show man's innate desire to grow, to be something better, to see and recognize flaws, and try to improve them. But I mean, man, I fall short. And that kind of bleeds into our life, you know, an uneasiness, the weariness. And I've noticed that very recently in my own life, right now. And when we fail to be better, we can't help but wonder, can I even make myself better? You know, we can work harder, grind harder, put our noses to the grindstone, try to be better Christians, better family members, better friends. But often, though, our sin nature just keeps appearing, you know. We fall and we fall hard. And oftentimes, there's no difference between who I used to be or who I wanted to, who I used to be and who I am. And I find that the older I get, the less I change, and kind of the more set in my ways that I become. And I don't see that changing anytime soon. Yeah, so I remember when I came back to Christ in college, I took a Nazirite vow. And so I shaved my head, burnt the hair, and it was really wild. But I kept away from alcohol, I kept away from grape juice and even things of the grape. And, you know, I tried my best to live a godly life, just to get closer to God, just to get, you know, do the right thing with God. And that lasted a good month, and I felt good about that. Try to get my life in order. But then slowly, you know, after I finished that vow, and, you know, one thing led to another, and I fell right back to my old ways. And I would stay late up in those nights crying out, "Oh, God, why? What more can I do?" And I would make vows and I would make promises to God that I couldn't keep. And I would fall further into just sin nature. And I often see Christian brothers and sisters in that same position. You know, they have the light of Christ, but you can't see it in their eyes. You know, if we're supposed to have the joy of the Lord, then why am I not joyful? Why am I not satisfied? Why don't I have peace? They have the light of Christ, but you wouldn't know it because their eyes are sad and their countenance is one of weariness. And that was the exact position that the people in Jesus' time were in. You see, they were in turmoil. Not only were they burdened by the laws of God, which are impossible to keep, but they were also burdened by the laws of the land. Israel was taken over by the Romans. And some of the Roman rules were just wild. Like, any Roman could say, "Hey, you specifically, Chuck, I want you to walk and just carry my stuff for a mile." And you were required by law to do exactly what the Roman centurions said. And so they were an oppressed people. And so not only were they burdened by the law of the Moses, by the actual law, and then not only were they burdened by the law of the land, but they were also burdened by the law of the Pharisees, where the Pharisees would take what was supposed to be a law, like, don't work on the Sabbath. And they'd ask the question, well, what is work? What specifically, how much walking is work? Like, and how much can you carry? And they were weary, burnt out, and exhausted. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like that too. "Come to me, all you who are labor, or all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And you can see that people were weary in Jesus' time. You see this with Zacchaeus, with Nicodemus, the rich young ruler. All these men were set in their lives. Their careers were good. Yet something was missing. There was something that just wasn't there. There was a misalignment. There was unrest in their soul. So Jesus, in this passage, commands us to do three things. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And what do we find? You will find rest for your soul. Are you weary? Are you burdened by the things of this world? Come to Jesus, and you will find rest. Now, in this first chapter, the context in Matthew chapter 11, we see in the very beginning that John's disciples, John the Baptist, his disciples come to Jesus because John has just been arrested. He said to Herod specifically, "Hey, you can't kill your brother and marry his wife. That's against God." And Herod was angry and threw him into prison. And eventually, John the Baptist would be beheaded in that prison. And so John the Baptist is having a test of faith. He's having a slight fluctuation. He goes, "Hey, Jesus, are you the one? I thought this was supposed to look different. I thought that this, you're bringing in the kingdom age." And in verse 5 of chapter 11, Jesus responds to John's disciples. And he says, "The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." And then later on in this chapter, Jesus talks about how he's not only that he's being rejected. He's being rejected not only by his own generation, but by his countrymen and his own family. And in all of this, rejection, there's an invitation. There's an invitation to come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Jesus said, so who is he talking to? All you, everyone here who labors and has heavy loads. See, heavy laden, the root of that word denotes the cargo of a ship. If you've been to the beach at all within the past year, you'll know that you'll see cargo ships as far as the eye can see. And they're all waiting to get into Long Beach. And so you have a small, well, it's not a small boat, but it's a lot smaller than the cargo that's on its back. And that cargo is waiting to be loaded off. And so that heavy laden is this incredible burden. I'm reminded of a Christian from the Pilgrim's Progress that has this incomprehensibly huge weight on his back. And his soul is tossed and turned, and he's got so much turmoil. And that's what this word is. Like, do you have rest, or is there twisting and knotting in your soul and spirit? Do you feel like a boat full of cargo? Do you feel like there's no rest? Well, you are in the right spot. See, Jesus says that those who come to him will find rest. That's everyone. That's Christian and non-Christian alike. Now, specifically, this message is geared toward the Christian. But if you're not a Christian, man, surrender your life to God and come in and come to Jesus firstly. Take his yoke upon you and learn from him, because then you will have rest for your soul. See, what is a yoke? I feel that most of us know what a yoke is, but I feel like it's good to kind of talk about it. Let me see if I can pull this up. Yeah. So a yoke is a large piece of wood that is used to be around the neck of an ox. And so you'd put it around your ox and you'd lead your ox with the ropes. There, thank you. and you'd lead them to plow the field. And so this yoke is a weight. And a yoke is a symbol of submission. Are we running our lives one day at a time going, what do I want? What can I get out of this? You see, Jesus lived a slightly different life. Jesus said that he did nothing apart from the will of the Father. Actually, let's turn there. If you go to John chapter 8, verse 28, we can just read the words of Jesus. John 8:28 says this: "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father taught me, I speak these things." Jesus lived a life of submission. In fact, we find out in Philippians 2:5 that though he was equal with God, he did not think equality something to grasp, but instead he humbled himself. He humbled himself even to the point of the cross. Jesus did nothing apart from the will of the Father. Jesus was in alignment with the will of the Father, and he humbled himself. So what does it look like to take up Christ's yoke? In Matthew 16, 24 through 26, it says, Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever will save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? You know, we live in a society that is, enamored with youth, that doesn't want to die. We live in a hyper-working culture where we are getting all we can and canning all we get. And it's all about what will satisfy me. There's a ton of Instagram blogs that I used to follow that were like, you know, just put your head to the grindstone, just put your nose to the grindstone, excuse me, and just grind and just work harder, work stronger, get all you can, get it. And Jesus says literally the opposite. He says, deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. For whoever will save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world? What if you specifically gained the whole world and died not knowing God? Or what shall a man give in return for his own soul? Take up your cross and follow Christ. See, what I love most about the yoke is that there's not one spot, but two. And often, what would happen is they would take an older ox and a younger ox and put them together and lead them. You're not alone in this. It's you and Jesus together. You are taking up his yoke, and you're following. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. But taking up your cross and following Jesus, that looks stressful, doesn't it? You know, we live in the 21st century, so we know how the story ends or how the story goes. We know that when Jesus is talking about the cross, he's talking about his own death. But the disciples didn't know that. John didn't know that. That was revealed to them later, that Jesus would go to the cross and he would submit himself. Not my will, Lord, if there be any other way, but if not my will, but yours be done. Do you seek satisfaction, peace, purpose, rest? These can only be found at the feet of Jesus. Jesus goes on to say, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. There's actually a book that I'm going through right now that's talking about this passage. It's aptly titled Gentle and Lowly. And in it, in some of the opening chapters, it talks about how this is the only time that Jesus talks about his character. How the attributes that he goes to describe himself are gentle and lowliness, like a lamb. Not exerting control over people, not strong-arming people to submit. And we even see that in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Peter cuts off the servant's ear, Jesus says, what are you doing? Don't you know I can call down legions of angels right now? See, Jesus lived a life of meekness. And meek doesn't mean weak. It just means strength under control. Jesus walked this earth not only to save us, but also to show what living a perfect life in the Spirit should look like. It's not one of control. of manipulation or getting what you want. It's a life of servitude and sacrifice. John chapter 13 talks about Jesus took off his robe and he put on the robe of a servant. He grabs a basin and he washes his disciples' feet. The Almighty God who created us from dirt washes the dirt off of his disciples' feet. And in John chapter 13, verse 12, it says, "So when Jesus had washed their feet, taking his garment and sat down, he said to them, 'Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. And if then, your Lord and teacher, having washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is no greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them.'" We are ambassadors of Christ. And like an ambassador for a country, it doesn't matter who that ambassador is, but it matters what the message is that he is carrying. Let's say if I'm an ambassador of the United States and I go to another country, what I say doesn't really matter. It's what I'm being told to say by my country that matters. In the same way, we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ and we are being told to live a certain way. We are told to be servants, to live humbly, to be meek and lowly, and taking upon the yoke of servitude. The life of sacrifice is one of learning. Observe what the scripture says. Read the Bible. Read the Gospels. View the life of Christ. And learn from the Spirit of the Lord. One of the commentaries that I really love is by a man named Matthew Henry. And in this, he talks specifically about these verses. And he says, "We must come to Jesus Christ as our teacher and set ourselves to learn of him. Christ has created a great school and has invited us to be scholars. We must enter ourselves associated with his scholars and daily attend the instruction he gives us by his word and spirit. We must converse much with what he said and have it ready to use upon all occasions. We must conform to what he did and follow his steps. Daily, we must attend to the instructions he gives by his word and his spirit." Are we daily running to God with our problems, with our challenges, with every little thing, with our thoughts? Do we start the day by talking to our dearest and closest friend, learning more about the one who formed us from the dust? Do we hear his spirit in our lives? Do things explode off the page when you read them and hit us in a different way? Do the thoughts hit us different when we're meditating on his word or on the problems of life? Man, a good resolution, and it doesn't have to be New Year's. It could be, you know, in March. It could be a July resolution. But a good resolution to have is to just daily read the word. Just daily spend time with the one that you love. How can a husband get to know his wife more if he doesn't talk with her? In the same way, how are we supposed to know what God wants in our lives if we never talk with him? How are we supposed to know what the will of God is if we don't speak with him? Father, show me how to hear your voice more deeply than I've ever heard it before. So there is a process here. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's a statement. That's a promise. You will be given rest if you come. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. So the three ways to have rest for your soul, if you're taking notes: come to Christ, be yoked to Christ, learn of Christ, And if these three things are done, what will you have? Rest. You will have rest. So have you given your life to Christ? There was a while back, probably about 5 years ago, the church was talking about being broken. Have you been broken for Christ? And I remember thinking about that, and I remember thinking about being broken. And I remember like, okay, so I give my whole life to Christ. God, I give you everything I have. Do whatever you want. What do I do tomorrow? Like, what does it look like from this point on? What do I do the next day? And, you know, I was reading through the Word, and I came across Luke 9:23, which says, "And Jesus said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me." And so we have this fantastic and glorious privilege to daily take up the cross and follow Christ in his footsteps. Now, generally, I can say that is what God wants for you in your life. He wants you to know him deeper and more personal, and he wants you to know what things are good, and if you do these things, life will go well. But specifically, I don't know what that calling is in your life. You see, in Proverbs 25:2, it says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to search it out." The life of the believer is one of daily submission, daily learning. Because of this, we have the promise of Christ. You will have rest for your soul. So this word for rest, this word for find, like, it means discover. It's like a man who finds a treasure in a field and buries it and sells all that he has just so he can buy the field. It's something that you find and it's concrete. You will find rest for your soul. See, deep restlessness is a problem of the soul. You can feel it. In fact, you can feel the opposite when you can feel someone has rest in their soul. I'm blessed, I'm honored to be a part of this church where I know men and women that have that deep rest in their soul, that they're in tune with the Lord, and what they want in their life and what God wants in their life are in perfect alignment. And you can feel it when you talk with them. You feel that love of God in their life. There is a countenance about them that shows that they are in alignment with the Father. A life of submission is a life of peace. And this looks different for everybody. Nicodemus, the Pharisee, needed to become a child and learn everything again, be born again. Zacchaeus, when prompted to have Jesus over, he's so refreshed. He says, "Not only will I give back what I've stolen, but I'll give it back double." And the rich young ruler, in order to have rest, needed to sell all that he owned. And so it might look different in your life. Your calling might look different than someone else's calling, and that's because God has uniquely made you for a specific purpose. Everyone that interacted with Christ, first they came to him. Then they chose to either take his yoke or not. And those who did learned from Christ, and they discovered rest for their soul. Do you want rest? Like, do you really want rest? The kind that can satisfy the striving of a soul. Satisfaction, fulfillment, peace that passes all understanding. I mean, I do. The kind of satisfaction, that kind of satisfaction, can only be found in Christ alone. So we're going to pause here. And in this time, we're going to have communion. And so I'm going to put on just some pads, and we're going to spend the next 10 minutes and just in fellowship and in communion with the Father. Take some time to pray. Take some time to just spend with the Father and just talk with him. Come to him, take his yoke, and learn from him. And then we'll have worship after that.
So let's pray, and then we'll do that. Heavenly Father, we are excited. God, we thank you. We thank you that you sent Jesus. We thank you that you loved us so much that you died for us. You say that some men might die for a great man, and some, and maybe a few might die for a good man, but while we were still sinners, you died for us. While we still hated you, God, you died for us. And God, I thank you for that, and I thank you for that love. And God, I cry out and I say, God, please let me hear your voice more and more. Let me grow more and more. And God, let me learn from you. And I pray that for every single person here, God, may we learn from you. May we grow and rest, God. May we find rest for our souls. We love you, Father. And in Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life